Hi everyone, I'm Anna Hewitt.
And I'm Deanne Logan.
And we are the guest hosts this month on the Careering Into Motherhood podcast. It's very exciting to be here. I'm a career and leadership coach, founder of Steps and Strides, and I work with ambitious professionals to help them find the confidence and clarity that they crave in their careers. My background is in HR, talent and leadership roles, and I'm also a mum to two girls who are 6 and nearly 10.
Hi, I'm Deanne, founder of Mulberry & Mint, Coaching with Deanne, a learning and development consultancy with a specialty in maternity and wellbeing coaching. I'm mum to Isaac, who is 2, and through my work, I'm striving to give women the space to work out how best to navigate those huge life changes to themselves with buckets full of compassion.
So, Deanne, we're here to talk about career fulfillment and having it all. What are your thoughts? What's your view on what that means?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think the phrase having it all can often assume that people won't have it all, or that there's a hint of sexism in there, that actually men will never get asked that question about having it all. And I think that that's an interesting notion to understand what your version of having it all is. So defining that for yourself. So for me, that's not about working 50 hours a week, plus being a mum, plus having every hobby under the sun, plus having a spotless house, etc., etc., etc. And I think that's often what we're made to feel what having it all is. My version is what I've defined, and that will be different to everybody else. My version of having it all is dabbling a bit in a bit of everything that I enjoy and that brings me fulfillment. So I work part-time and I love the work that I do for the 3 days that I work. I love having time with my son. I love having some time for myself. It's a constant juggle, don't get me wrong, but dabbling in a bit of everything's is good enough for me to say having it all. How about you? What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's a journey, isn't it, that you go on as you kind of go through the different phases of life. I think certainly earlier on in my career, there was more capacity and time to be able to working late and putting my hand up for extra things. And I was much more focused on work. And I think once I had children, I almost wanted to kind of maintain that momentum as well as being an awesome mum and you know, the house to be tidy and all of that kind of stuff. I was sort of setting the bar quite high. I definitely think it's a journey. I think, have I nailed it? Do I have it all now? No, not at all. But I'm a bit like you're saying, I know what I need more now in terms of kind of flexibility and agency and autonomy in what I do. But I also think that that might change in the future. And as my children get older, I think what I want for my career might change then. I read this great quote about, you know, having it all doesn't mean about having it all now. It's about kind of looking at your career holistically and thinking about it as a total and how does it look in that direction.
And I think there's a question around how work and life is shared within a family. So whether that's between mum and dad or partner, I think there's an interesting question around, is everyone having it all? Or are some families in a place where they're making some compromises so that somebody can and maybe somebody steps up and takes on more of the childcare work? I think the article I read today was that another large organisation has extended paternity leave, full pay paternity leave for fathers and partners. And I thought that that's an interesting point, because there is an element of, is this just about the woman trying to juggle everything and have a million plates in the air at any one time? Or is there something about society supporting families as a whole to enable them to get a more suitable balance, whatever that balance is?
Yeah. So when I took all of the leave, so I took the maternity leave, we didn't do any sort of shared parental leave, I don't think it was actually around then. I think it was just coming in. So my partner had 1 week of leave for our first child and 2 weeks for the second. And when you're in that period of leave, you are maybe doing a bit of extra stuff around the house, a bit more of the kind of like the domestic duties and all of that kind of stuff. And one of the best pieces of advice I had on the second return to work was you almost need to sit down with your other half and like redivide the labour back up when you're returning to work so that you can kind of address that balance. But it's also frustrating things like, you know, when the schools ring or you get the text about the parents' evening, they tend to contact the mum or the maternal figure, I suppose, as that first port of call. So I'm not sure if the system is kind of set up in a way for us as families to kind of have it all. I think there's a lot of negotiation that has to happen between the members of the family to understand what's most important to them right now. And I don't know about your experience, but my partner has always been really supportive and we pretty much divide everything sort of 50-50. And like my mum's generation was like, oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky that he's putting the Hoover around. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think I am. You know, it's just how we work as a team, I suppose.
Yeah, I think there's still that huge part of society, and maybe it's generational, that is finding this striving to have it all quite challenging. Probably, like you say, because that wasn't done. Even if you look back 50 years ago, that was a real challenge for families to be in the position where both parents worked, kids were in full-time nursery. And I think that support for the mother figure is hugely under-supported. Society talks about there needing to be a village to raise a kid. Now, I don't know about you, but that definitely, I'm still waiting for my village. And that doesn't mean I haven't got great friends and family. It's just actually everybody works and everybody is busy and therefore there aren't people around to just come and hold the baby for a bit. I had my son in the pandemic and that absolutely opened my eyes as to how people are trying to balance everything, not actually having any additional support, physical and emotional. I think that was a real challenge. I'm sure lots of lockdown parents will be able to empathise with that. I certainly support people through my coaching work who are about to embark on that maternity journey. And what I often find is there is that feeling of, I'm pregnant, I need to keep presenting as this competent person who's able to do a job and flow through pregnancy with no problems. Even if you have a straightforward pregnancy, I know how physically hard that can be and how many appointments there are, what anxieties come with it. It's impossible to work like you're not pregnant. And then how do people navigate, or women in particular, navigate going through that transition into maternity leave, however long they decide to take or are fortunate enough to take, and then the coming back into work. I know you work with women when they're thinking about career as well. Kinds of questions come up for them when you're typically working with them?
What is a fulfilling career is often a big question. People feeling like they've maybe lost that sense of direction or connection to what they're doing. I think finding purpose is a big question that can feel quite a weighty question. Like, if I don't find my purpose, I can't have a fulfilling career. And I like to sort of challenge that a little bit, because I think careers certainly aren't one size fits all. And you mentioned that at the beginning, you know, what works for you might not work for me, but could work for someone else. They're not one size fits all. And also you've got to experiment a little bit and be kind of curious and be willing to kind of be open and try different things in that pursuit of purpose or fulfillment. As you were talking there, I was sort of reflecting and going, you know, what does career fulfillment mean to me? And what does that mean in this context of having it all? And part of career fulfillment for me is being able to show up as the kind of mum that I want to show up as. Prior to working as a coach, I would work in organisations, I had an HR leadership role, and it was very demanding. There were parts that I loved, there was parts that I found challenging. And one of those parts that I found challenging was that I was the first person to leave the office because not many people had children or their partners were at home doing the pickup. So I was like the first person to leave the office. So I always felt a bit guilty when I was doing that. And then I was the last person to pick up my children from after school club. And I just felt like, hang on a minute, I'm not winning anywhere here. I'm not winning from a kind of work perspective and I'm not winning from a sort of parenting perspective. So career fulfillment is also linked to kind of life fulfillment. If I can get my work to work around my children and my family and my own well-being and walking the dog or doing exercise, I know you swim and things, then that's a massive tick in the box. So to answer your question, clients often come to career coaching going, what is my purpose? When we scope out how we're going to work together in coaching, we often then look outside of the career to understand what it is that's going to give them that feel-good factor in terms of what they're looking for.
But often some of the obstacles that come up for my clients are things that are actually within themselves or within all of us. So that piece around the self-talk that goes on for us, the narrative that we're telling ourselves in our head, the feelings of guilt that come from nowhere and seem to take over our whole body and being, often that narrative of our own can be so much louder and somewhat terrifying than what's going on all around us. There's some of the work that I tend to do is around what is that narrative? What's being said? What do you believe? What are you feeling? And trying to explore some of that to enable them some freedom.
There's probably an organisational aspect here, isn't there? And what's the environment like at your work? What's the culture? What's the team that you're working in? If you're working in an organisation, you know, the relationship that you have with your manager, because one of my managers, when I returned from second maternity leave, he had four children himself. They were older. It would just never be an issue. He would always be, do whatever you need to do. It's totally fine. Totally trust you. Totally understand. It was like, you don't even need to talk about it. It's do whatever you need to do. That narrative that you've just described, those kind of stories we tell ourselves, those mind monkeys, having that sort of support from someone just makes a huge difference to your confidence when you return to work, because you've just got that sense that someone's got your back, haven't you?
That person could be quite different for all of us. So that could be, and hopefully is, a fantastic line manager. That could be a peer or a mentor, somebody who's been through a similar journey. It could be a coach. It could be a colleague. It could be a friend who's going through something similar. So there's something about surrounding yourself with people who get it and support you.
Yeah, absolutely. Where would you start if you were helping someone work out what a fulfilling career means to them?
There's something about what brings you joy day to day. What is it that gets you out of bed, gets a fire in your belly? And really thinking about what your career drivers are right now in this particular moment. I think often we get weighed down with, I should be doing something, or I should be doing X, Y, and Z by now. And honouring where you are at this current moment will often enable you to find so much more fulfillment if you let go of some of the guilt that can come with thinking about that. So lots of different things around different actions you can do, lots of reframing, which links into what we talked about earlier, thinking about what you need absolutely right now and understanding what that work-life balance and blend is. And I talked about surrounding yourself physically with people that could support you, but reading and looking at things that will support your mindset. So looking at some of the work of people like Mother Pucker, Anna Mathur, and Pregnant Then Screwed, those organizations and individuals provide so much encouragement, support, podcasts, reading, books that will help us to really investigate where we are against some of that thinking.
So my eldest is going to be 10 in a week. I cannot believe I've got a 10-year-old child, because I basically feel like a 10-year-old child. So the fact I've got a 10-year-old child is just mind-blowing. So to see how much it's changed over those 10 years, both for new mums returning to the workplace, but also for mums like me that are 10 years in, or mums that have got 20-year-olds and things, there's just so much more normalizing of what it's like to be a professional woman who also happens to be a mum, or a mum who also happens to work. There's so much there about what the reality of what it is, and also things like careering into motherhood. You know, that's a huge platform for normalizing it. And I think just normalizing it, talking about it, being honest and saying, look, I'm a career coach and I still haven't got it 100% figured out. Like, I'm still working it out every day, doing the work, being curious, learning, all of that type of stuff, reflecting, makes you just feel less alone. And I think when you feel less alone, you can then, you kind of create space in your mind to think about, okay, well, what does career fulfillment mean to me? Because right now it might mean that I'm at home with my children, or it might mean, you know, because that is still a career, or it might mean something else. And I think when we can create that space, like you say, letting go of some of that narrative, learning, reading around the subject, you can start to feel a bit inspired and a bit ambitious and thinking about what is possible rather than what some of the limitations are.
Yeah, I'm feeling in control, which is really what surely all us working mums are striving for, a sense of, I've got this, I can let that go, but I can put my energy into X, Y, and Z. There's that brilliant saying of, you know, you say no to something, but actually what you're then doing is saying yes to something else. And that often is something that will bring you joy, fulfillment, and isn't necessarily about having it all. As we close, what would be your final piece of advice to someone who is thinking about career fulfillment and is thinking about pursuing this notion of having it all?
I would probably start with trying to understand what's driving that question, like what's going on in the current situation. Is it coming out of a place of genuine curiosity, or is it a should? I should be like this rather than I want this. The importance of having conversations in your network and talking to different people, reading around the subject, just getting some data and information about what other people's perspectives are on that. I'm obviously biased. I would say work with a coach, but if you didn't want to work with a coach, or you couldn't afford to work with a coach, then have you got a friend or someone that you can go with for a walk with and just have these conversations? But really, there is no silver bullet to this stuff. Like, you'll only find the answer by trying and taking action and maybe doing something a bit differently, or submitting that CV for a job that you think, I actually only answer like 50% of the criteria, but I'm going to try anyway. And just then reflecting on the learning and sort of letting go of the outcome a little bit, and really just thinking about, what can I be doing today to move me towards the direction that I want to be heading in? What about you?
Definitely letting go of that inner critic and allowing ourselves some compassion, which we'll often show to other people, but so much harder for ourselves. I think allowing yourself to explore where you are right now in this moment and what you need right now, maybe doing some thinking for the future, but ultimately, where you are right now could change in 3 months, 6 months, a year. So it's worth doing the now. And I think making sure you've got a village of some kind, whether that's an Instagram family and you're looking at inspiring posts, or you actually have a great support network, a great people manager, a great supportive HR team, really trying to find out who your people are so that you can work through some of this stuff. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode on why career fulfillment isn't about having it all. Having it all doesn't mean you need to have it all right now. Focus on what is most important for you, where you're at, and adopt an open mindset to go and get it. You can find out more about this topic in the show notes. And if you're interested in the work Anna and I both do with coaching, please do get in touch via the Careering into Motherhood website.